Well, hello, Tracy.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I can't tell you what you did to me with this film. I had no heads up. Braden was a bad boy, gave me no heads up. I cried and cried and cried when we got into the third act. And then when we got to
Oh,
that
man.
ending, this needs to have a five box tissue warning with it. It makes your heart explode with emotion while turning on a faucet of beautiful, stinging tears. This is what some of the most emotional filmmaking I have ever seen and experienced. Amazing job, Tracy.
Thank you so much. Thank you. People send photos of how many tissues they use. They say, "Hey, I thought once I used to look at it and have like handful of tissues." So I guess you're not the only one. It's beautiful that it's, making people feel this way. It means the world to me.
And it sneaks up on you because everything you have, gr you've cast this brilliantly. Chemistry between Barbie Ferreira and John Leguizamo is the minute we see them, when she opens the door and there is Bob Trevino standing there, that chemistry is so strong between the two of them. You want to go along for this ride. You just know this
Absolutely.
is going to be great. So when things take shifts in the third act, you don't expect it. It sneaks up on you. That's magical. That's
Well, thank
magical
you so far.
storytelling.
Thank you. I had the best cast and crew in the world, and I tell people when we were casting, I said, "We're not casting, as we'll probably get into, it was kind of inspired by a true story." And I'm like, "I'm not casting those people. I'm casting hearts. I'm just looking for hearts, the right hearts for this film." And John and Barbie absolutely had the right hearts. And from them, from their prior work and from meeting them, I was like, "There's nobody else in the world, I think, that could have played these two roles."
Just amazing. And when you talk about heart, immediately as I'm watching the film and I'm watching John, I kept thinking about what he brought to Moulin Rouge because his character was all about love and kindness and joy. And that's exactly what I saw him bring here.
Absolutely. He often, I mean, he's gotten to play some more grounded roles of fathers, like in The Power, and when they see us. But a lot of his roles are being very, are very eccentric. And one of his interviews, he was talking about how he's usually becoming something else in the character. In this film, he felt like he was becoming himself, and that really got me, because it really is who he is. He's just the most kind, caring person that I can imagine.
We see it immediately. Even before Lily and Bob meet, we see that just in what he brings to Bob. As we're seeing Bob at work, Bob interacting with his wife Jeannie, or not interacting because of the heartache and pain that the shared trauma they've gone through that we learn about. Outstanding on that level. Now, I know this is inspired based on many people you know, true story, your own story. So I'm curious, did you have, what was the impetus to make you put this down on paper and then make a movie out of it? Did you have
I think.
trepidation?
Did I have what?
Any trepidation about doing it, about really bearing your soul?
It's interesting because now I look back and I wonder how I did it, because if I would have known how vulnerable I was going to be, maybe I would have been more scared. But the why of it all was so much bigger than my fear at the time that I knew I just had to do it. So. And now that I've done it, I hope to do it again, because that definitely is the magic of cinema, right? The opening up and how universal specificity is in it. And I think what happened is that I felt that I had been blessed with the kindness of a stranger. And I was looking for my dad online. He wouldn't call me back, wouldn't email me back. And I put his name into Facebook, and I thought maybe he's on Facebook. And I accidentally friended the wrong person with his name, who ended up being very very kind to me in a way, you know, never, ever crossing any lines, never being anything but kind, just for the sake of being kind. And I had never experienced that in a fatherly way like that, you know, in a paternal way. And it healed me. You know, I'd done years of therapy. I'd done all these things. And I felt that I was a living proof that these small acts of kindness matter and can change someone's life. Because we go through the days thinking, oh, it doesn't matter. We don't have the power to change anything. And da 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 da. And here I am, you know, inspired by this stranger from the internet that changed my life. And I'm now, because I've created this story, that's impacting other people. So these small acts of kindness have such a ripple effect. And I didn't know what to do with that gift. And I just thought, I have to share it. I have to, you know, I have to, that is someone's legacy, you know, to pass it on. If you get a gift from someone like that, you have to pass it on.
Well, and what's really interesting is that with all the beauty that comes with this gift that you're passing on to all of us, that kindness, you have to show the dark side to really appreciate the good side and the good that came out of it. And I have never seen French Stewart in a role like this. You talk about going to the dark side. This is one of the most heinous characters I have seen him play. And I've seen him play bad characters before. But what makes this one, as Robert, exponentially worse is the fact that this is how he's treating his own daughter. Not just some stranger or another person that crosses paths with him. His own daughter. The vitriol and the hatred that he spews. And that you show us where he's even gone so far as to cut her photo out, her picture out of photos.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough. How tough was that for you? It's one thing to portray and bring to life the great kindness and the nice stuff of Bob. But how hard was it for you to show this dark side?
I think, you know, like you said, you got to show the darkness. And I never wanted to be toxically positive because it wouldn't have had the power, you know. And I really like to think of our characters as the light in the darkness, and everybody's gone through things. And so when French and I were working together, we never tried to use judgmental language with his character. You know, we never like called him a narcissist or anything like that. I was always on his side. And I think part of the power of characters like that is that if we can have nuance, if we can show, you know, without making them a victim, you know, and without like putting down our own boundaries or crossing our own boundaries, how do we see people like that? And you realize hurt people, and they're on their own journey. And so we tried to humanize him, even though he was doing such awful things. And it was hard. It was a real line because I just never wanted to have a caricature. You know, I didn't want to like, I had similar, you know, this is a work of fiction, but you can probably tell from how honest the film is that I did have similar experiences.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to vilify my father. You know, I didn't want to make him some some caricature, twisty mustache villain, or because there's no healing in that either. You know, that it's like if you say, this is my side, that's your side, that's that, and I'm never going to see it any differently. I'm not sure there's much healing in that. And so the boundaries, I think this is definitely a movie about learning about boundaries, and those are great. And I've learned a lot about that in my life. But also, how do we accept people that this may be as far as they get this lifetime, and we get to choose how close or how far they are from us. And so I just wanted him to be a human, you know, and like when he says, you know, you sure had a better, I may not have been the best father, but you sure had a better father than I did. That was a really important line to me. As you know, maybe she can be the light in the next generation. You know, maybe he didn't get there this time, and maybe he will, maybe he won't, you know, but she gets to carry on the good stuff.
Yeah, she gets to choose, and she ended up truly with a loving father in her life.
Yeah, exactly. They said, don't go to the hardware store for milk. She was going to the hardware store for milk.
I have to tell you, the fixing the toilet and going to the hardware store, two of my favorite scenes. And one of the big things is because the big thing for my own father and myself, going to the hardware store was like the greatest thing on the planet. His first trip to California, and I got to see him for one day, and we went to Builders Emporium, which doesn't exist anymore. And oh my God, it was like he was having a field day and he's looking at the prices, and then he found out it was the first time in his life he could get a senior discount because he was over 55. And that was like, that is still one of the greatest memories I have. And then all the stuff that he bought for my condo, for my apartment at the time, it was hilarious. But to see that dad and daughter hardware store was just phenomenal. Phenomenal. These little things that you punctuated the film with just make it so endearing and so wonderful. Now, a big thing in this film is that stands out is your use of analog with the whole scrapbooking that Bob's wife Jeannie does versus the digital technology, which is how Bob and Lily connect. I love that balance that you have there. You have history is tangible. It is tactile. We can touch it. We can feel it. I can put it in your hand. You can put it in my hand. You can feel the texture. You can see Jeannie's fingerprints on what she was feeling on each page as she's scrapbooking things. How difficult was it to find this balance here and to incorporate both worlds, technologies, so to speak, into this story?
It was a little tricky. We had to do a lot of prep, you know, especially with the screens. I didn't want the whole movie to be screens. I wanted you to see the actors' faces. And I wanted, you know, with so many movies about social media and online communication are like horror films or thrillers, and bad things happen, you know. And so I just wanted to play on that tension that we have with that, but make it, you know, something good can come of this. And it's a tool. The social media is a tool to bring, it's not, we don't stay there. We get to come to the real world. We get to have things that we hold. We get to spend real time together, you know. And so it was kind of like a portal into the real world for both of them. And so with the scrapbooks, you know, our production designer, Sydney Marquez, you know, she made, even when her first interview when she came in for me, she made giant wooden boards. You know, a lot of other people made digital things to show me what they would do. She made giant wooden boards that were physical. And I saw that, and I said, this is our person. She gets it. You know, she physically went to the store. She made the things. She's showing me, and I feel it. And my childhood friend's mother had been a major, major scrapbooker for many, many years, and that's where I got this part of the story. But, you know, I didn't have, my dad didn't always save our photos, but sometimes, and there's stories with that, like, you know, I got them back in a garbage bag, that kind of stuff. But my childhood friend's mom had just a few photos of me, and they wound up in her scrapbooks. And my childhood friend would say, oh, my mom's scrapbooking again, and da-da-da-da. And I'd say, you don't understand how amazing this is. You know, like, I just love these scrapbooks. Like, and I'm in them, even though I'm barely in them, the fact that she did this as a photo. So I'd had that experience of holding the book and feeling loved and feeling cherished, really, mm-hmm. you know? And that was just something I really wanted for Lily.
And I feel that. As I'm watching that, I feel that. And it's so fantastic because digitally, all you can just click delete and it's gone. It takes a lot more effort to get rid of something that is physical and tangible.
Yeah, absolutely. And effort is the right, yeah, absolutely.
This is your first feature narrative film. And it is just a brilliant calling card for you for the future. But I'm curious about your process, working with your cinematographer, John Rosario, then working with your editor, Anisha, after that. Talk to me about developing your visual grammar and how that played into finding your pacing of the emotional beats in this film.
I met John years earlier, and I knew I wanted to work with him, the cinematographer, John Rosario, and I told him when I brought this film to him that I wanted to shoot it with a feminine gaze. You know, he's male, but I said, look, I'm not calling it female gaze because I want to invite men in to experience the feminine experience as well. And to me, a lot of this I got from Joey Soloway's lecture at TIFF a few years back. But to me, it's really looking at, it's not looking at people, it's seeing them. It, every shot, everything became, what is this character feeling or thinking, not what do they look like? And we had to, like, be really mindful throughout the film to make sure that was always the case. And I think a lot of the healing comes from that, because we really are experiencing the film with them. Like, we're inviting people to come and be a fly on the wall in their life and be with them. A lot of times in the handheld scenes, it really felt like John was an actor in the scene. So creating that safe space for everybody was really, really important. And then Lily has gone through a lot. Our lead, Barbie Ferreira, her character has gone through a lot of trauma. And in my opinion, she probably has CPTSD from her childhood trauma. And I have a lot of those crossover experiences. And so I was telling John Rosario what it felt like, when I'm in conflict or with someone, or when I'm triggered, or also the ability to have childlike awe over small things when you haven't had it, the glimmers. So we used certain lenses, vintage lenses, to create those effects when things would be heightened for her. We changed the frame rate. And then we also used wide-angle lenses for close-ups, which I haven't seen a lot, but I tried to explain that sometimes when I'm in conflict, I can be really close to someone but feel far away, because when you grow up with that kind of trauma, you're attuned to kind of micro shifts in personal dynamics. And so I just wanted people to feel that, and I think they really do. I mean, you fall in love with her from the minute you see her, and I think people are in her experience the whole time. So, and then I was lucky enough to work with Anisha and Chara. It was funny because my old editor, Anita Brandt Burgoyne, who I did my shorts with, she was retiring, and I said, "Oh no!" But then I finally got a feature. And she said, "Well, my protege, you should meet my protege, or one of I've been a mentor to Anisha," and Anisha had gone on to have a great career in her own right. And then my producer Edgar Rosa said, "I have this editor I want you to meet, Anisha." And I said, "All roads are leading to Anisha." So I met with Anisha, and the minute I sat down, I felt, I'm very hard on myself in the edit, and I thought, I can be with this person. She will tell me how it is, but she's going to do it with kind. She's always going to be honest with me, and she's passionate, and she really. It's funny, you hear about people having to cut around performances of the actors, but we actually had so much gold from all of our actors that it was almost, there were almost like too many options. So, but Anisha and I feel like we together we really made all the right choices for their performances. I feel good about that. And being such a personal story, I'm really glad I was with her in that room, and she did a lot of amazing things to save time, like with the typing. She made it disjointed, and we were using voiceovers, and so, she saved us so much time. The movie could have been 3 hours long if we put everything in,
If I had seen a 2-hour or a 3-hour version of Bob and Lily, I would have been happy. To see everything that he let her experience, and that he also got to experience as a father, so to speak. So each one of them, and this is one of the beautiful things that you really bring forth, and kudos to Barbie and John for this in their performances, is that each one of them is giving a life experience to the other that without their connection, they never would have had. And absolutely, that just speaks volumes, Tracy. That really just comes to the forefront. And you can't help but think about that. The whole thing about the windy flashlight. And it's like, okay, we'll have it here next time for you when you come. But he was determined to get a windy flashlight. And I kept wondering, I wonder if she got the windy flashlight. And lo and behold, you answer that question for me. So we see life lessons for both of them unfolding, and experiences that neither one would have had. You let that breathe. And that's something that I don't know if you realize that you were doing that, but you're letting them breathe. Each little moment, each father-daughter moment, even sad ones, you're letting them breathe. And just like life, when you don't want to take a breath, sometimes you get to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think. Thank you for that. I think a lot of it had to do with the safe space we created for everybody. That's really important to me. And just casting, you don't just cast the cast, you cast the crew too.
Yeah.
So who's going to help create that space? And being an independent film, I didn't have people. Being an independent film that I was the head of the LLC for, and I didn't have to answer to a ton of people. I got to give them that space. And I can't imagine what it would have been like if people telling me, I mean, we're definitely always rushed. You never have enough time on set. But people in the edit, people, I couldn't imagine people having to tell me, no, cut a couple seconds off this close-up. Or, you know, like, no, I want you to sit with them. I want you to be with them. And we're not watching paint dry here. This is beautiful. They're giving you it. Some of their close-ups, I feel like it's a masterclass in acting. You know?
And they're beautiful. And this is kudos to John with his lighting and his lensing. There are some real painterly images that we see of emotion.
Absolutely.
And that just adds, that's just one more layer of poignancy and love and grace that we see unfold here. Now that you have made it through your first feature, what would you say are the greatest things that you learned about yourself as a filmmaker that you can now take forward into your future projects?
There's a level of confidence that comes from just having done it, right? I feel like if I had this level of confidence before I did it, it just would have been arrogance, you know? So, I mean, I definitely, I'm sure everything's going to be challenging and I have a lot to learn, but I know that I can do it now because I did do it. And so, I think the other thing I learned is that the things that make me, me, you know, the way that I see the world, the way I don't try not to judge people naturally, that I don't really judge people, that I look closer, my kind of mix of humor and drama, that is the way I see the world and the way I experience life. And the fact that I want to focus on being the light, even though I've been through such dark things. I think that these things together seem to be something useful that, you know, that the world can use right now. And therefore I feel really lit up to tell more stories and hope that they can have a positive impact as well. You know, it seems the more honest I can be and the more myself I can be, the more power it can have. And that's something that I didn't realize before this film.
Do you find that this whole experience has been provided a level of catharsis for you that you might not have found before?
Yeah, and a lot of that probably comes from how personal it was. Because we would, Anisha and I would be in the edit, and we'd be doing some, you know, we'd crack one of the scenes with the dad, for example, and I would just feel like I was releasing decades of something I had carried around. And I feel a lot lighter after this movie, you know? I feel like and it's also not just my story anymore, it's our story. You know, I learned that my story is not that different than this person's story. And so there's a catharsis that comes with having felt alone and realizing you're so not alone.
After everybody sees this film, you will never be alone. And nobody will leave you alone because they're going to want you to make more films that have this kind of heart and this kind of soul to them, Tracy. Job just so incredibly well done. But I have to give you one tip for your distributors when this goes out on Blu-ray and DVD, which it better, you need to have a small packet of tissues included in the DVD and Blu-ray package.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
You gotta have that for people. Gotta have that. You know, it's the whole free gift with purchase idea.
Absolutely. That's great swag. We should do one of the main props I kept from the film is a tissue box from the counselor's office.
See?
So, yeah, but we can give those out.
That's it. You can just get the small little, they could even custom make them with Bob Trevino likes it, you know, on the wrapper. There you go. Swag that everybody will love. The free gift with purchase. Tracy, this has been so wonderful getting to chat with you about Bob Trevino Likes It. Bob Trevino may like it. I love it. So
thank you so much.
Job so well done. And I hope we get to chat again in the future.
I hope so too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy.